Chapter 1. What do you call the person who brings dinner to a rancor?
The appetizer.
Jason Solo, age 14, Jedi Academy on Yavin 4. The tunnel descending into Nickel One's transportation warrens was typically verpine, square, straight, and lined with so many tubes, ducts, and conduits that it was impossible to see native rock. It was also crazy clean, in that maybe the Hive Mother has a problem kind of way, with a spotless smoke-blue floor and gleaming aquamarine pipe, work which made it virtually identical to the rest of the passages Jaina had seen while touring of the asteroid's defenses. Even with her Force abilities, she found it impossible to tell exactly where she and Boba Fett were inside the insect colony, and whether they had any chance of rejoining the Mandalorian garrison commandos before stormtroopers began landing. It was 3 weeks after the Battle of Fondor, and following a series of threats and overtures from all sides of the Galactic Civil War, the Verpine had invited the Mandalorians to establish a base on Nickel One to deter anyone who might think of forcing the issue. Obviously, the deterrent hadn't worked. Just a standard hour earlier, Jaina and Fett had been inspecting the asteroid's defenses when an Imperial Remnant flotilla had unexpectedly arrived from hyperspace and made a feint toward the primary loading docks. Half an hour later, a full planetary invasion fleet had arrived and pounded Nickel One surface defenses into slag and dust. Soon, the actual troop drop would begin, and even the Verpine entertained no hopes of repelling it. The only question was where the Imperials would land first. An urgent drone rose ahead, and the bitter taint of Verpine alarm pheromones grew thick in the tunnel's muggy air. The guide, a thick-limbed insect with the spiked carahide and heavy mandibles of the soldier caste, started to walk faster, and Jaina began to worry that a swarm of frenzied warriors would mistake her and Fett for the enemy. When Fett's hand drifted toward his holstered blaster, she knew she wasn't the only one concerned. Still, she didn't dare suggest that their guide come ahead to remind his fellow Verpine that she and Fett were on the Hive's side. She knew how Fett would view such an obvious precaution. And maybe he was right. Maybe any appearance of weakness was a weakness. Jaina had been training with the legendary bounty hunter for just a little more than a standard month, but she had come to know him well. At times, she could almost read his mind. When the Remnant flotilla had fainted toward the loading docks, she had predicted that he would pretend to fall for the ruse, and watched him send a wing of Besulik out to drive off the enemy. When the actual invasion fleet had arrived, she had guessed that Fett would counterpunch hard. In fact, he had convinced Nickel One's High Coordinator to hurl her entire starfighter force at the Remnant's flagship, the Dominion, and the Super Star Destroyer had quickly become a flaming hulk. Now, with the asteroid's capture a virtual certainty, Jaina knew Fett would not meet the invaders on the surface. He would opt for a far bloodier strategy, attacking them in the narrow access tunnels that led down from the airlocks, making them pay in lives for every meter they advanced. And Jaina knew that her training had just come to an end, because Boba Fett would not risk her, the tool of his vengeance against his daughter's killer, in a battle he could not win. As soon as they passed a hangar with a serviceable starfighter still inside, he would cut Jaina loose and tell her to go hunt down her twin brother. What Jaina did not know was whether she was ready. She could fight any three men in Keldabe and be the only one left standing. She could splat a dye ball on Fett's armor anywhere she wanted. She could outfly Mandalore's best pilots in any vessel they chose, and shoot down an entire squadron in elite combat simulations. None of that meant she was good enough to bring down a Sith Lord. And she had to be. If Mara had been frightened enough of her brother's transformation to attempt killing him, then it was up to Jaina to finish the job. Jason, or Darth Kitus, as he called himself now, had to be stopped. For Mara and Ben and Luke. For her parents and Tenel Ka and Alana. For Kashyyyk and Fondor and the rest of the galaxy. But was she ready? After a few moments of descent, the alarm pheromones grew so thick that Jaina's eyes started to burn, and the force sizzled with the excitement and outrage of thousands of insectoids. The drone ahead blossomed into a dull roar, and then the tunnel opened into the worst ped jam she had ever seen. Swarms of thick-limbed verpine with spiked carahide and reek-sized mandibles were pouring into the main transportation depot, climbing over one another, or using their shatter rifles like plow blades as they crowded into the cavern from a dozen different directions. Jaina and Fett's escort pushed into the writhing mass and was immediately shoved first one way, then the other. Soon he became almost indistinguishable from the rest of the verpine mass, even to Jaina, who, as a former Killick joiner, could tell the insects apart far better than most humans. She grabbed hold of the guide's ammunition belt and held tight, using the force to shoulder aside any warrior who tried to slip between them. When they had made no appreciable progress after 15 seconds, Fett butted his way to the guide's side.
At this rate, the Imperials are going to be inside before I can post my men. Is there another way to the command bunker?
The guide rocked his tubular head, thinking, then blinked his bulbous eyes.
We might be able to cross the surface.
Forget it, Fett said.
There was no need to explain his reluctance, not to Jaina. With an invasion fleet bombarding Nickel One and an armada of assault shuttles about to descend on the surface, trying to cross 50 kilometers of asteroid in a dust crawler was a long shot. And Fett always played the odds, especially when it came to risking his life.
You've got clearance from the High Coordinator, Fett said. Tell him to make a hole.
I am, the guide replied.
His voice was surprisingly thin and reedy for being nearly the size of a Wookiee, most likely because it was so seldom used. Verpine usually talked using biologically generated radio waves, resorting to sound only when speaking to other species.
But the enemy has launched its first swarm of assault shuttles, and 1,000 other combat directors and several battle coordinators are also demanding the right of way. We all have Priority One clearance from Her Maternalance.
I thought your kind was supposed to be organized, Fett growled.
He pointed across the vault toward a loading area that Jaina could barely see through the swarm of huge insects ahead.
That our tube?
Yes. Down Yellow Express 50-seat, the guide said. But they are running low on passenger capsules, so we may need to switch.
So we need to get there first,
Fett growled. He squared his shoulders and started to shove ahead. But Jaina had anticipated his impatience and was already using the force to hold him back.
Ladies first, she said, gliding past. Now that you're a head of state, you might want to learn some manners.
She began to use the force to clear a path, her hand moving back and forth ever so slightly as she sent verpine warriors tottering aside or stumbling to sudden halts. Fett grunted and followed close on her heels,
with their guide, Ossus Niskuin, peering over both their shoulders in astonishment. A couple of rib-battering minutes later, they emerged from the swarm onto a yellow loading platform and found themselves teetering above a 2-meter drop into a transportation tube. At the bottom, Jaina could see translucent waves of energy sweeping along a raised repulsor rail, carrying a steady stream of dust, stone, and refuse at speeds in excess of 200 kilometers an hour. The Verpine behind them continued to press forward, and now Jaina found herself holding the swarm back with the force as a long durasteel capsule shot out of the adjacent tunnel and whooshed to a stop in front of the loading area. The capsule opened along its full length, the entire upper quarter sliding upward. Jaina got a brief glimpse of 2 rows of inward-facing seats before Verpine soldiers began to literally spill into the capsule.
"Come on, Jedi."
Fett grabbed her and jumped into the writhing mass, elbowing and kicking alongside the rest of the passengers as he fought for a place. Jaina used the Force to keep a small area around them clear until a loud hiss sounded above their heads and the door slid closed. An instant later, the capsule shot down the transport tube and the entire mass of occupants was thrown toward the rear of the passenger compartment. As the capsule reached full speed, the Verpine quickly began to untangle themselves. Despite the loading chaos, everyone seemed to have a seat. Jaina and Fett sat across from a soldier she thought she recognized as their guide.
"Niskuin?"
she asked.
"Correct,"
the insect replied.
"Most humans have as much trouble distinguishing our scents as we do yours."
"She's had practice,"
Fett said, turning his helmet toward Niskuin.
"So what's the situation topside?"
Niskuin fell silent for a moment as he consulted with his fellow Verpine, then said,
"Our surface batteries have taken a heavy toll, and the enemy's first assault shuttles are starting to land. Their white shells are beginning to debark."
"I could guess that much," Fett grumbled. "I mean, where? Which airlocks?"
Niskuin was quiet for a moment, then reported,
"No airlocks. The initial mass is swarming high ground rocky plain, 20 kilometer left.
Fett turned to Jaina.
"The next time I do a base inspection, remind me to bring my own communications officer. Or better yet, not to get caught in a surprise attack at all."
"Like you'd listen to a Jedi,"
Jaina retorted. She turned to Niskuin.
"Isn't that landing zone near your fusion plant's exhaust ports? 20 kilometers down the left side of the asteroid?"
"Correct,"
Niskuin said.
"We assume that's how they intend to enter the hive."
Fett's alarm suddenly grew as sharp in the Force as the Verpine's pheromones were in the air.
"They won't enter."
Niskuin's antennae straightened.
"You think they hope to sabotage our primary power supply?"
"Hope isn't the way I'd put it,"
Fett said. He began to murmur into his helmet mic, trying to issue orders directly to the commando company he had stationed on Nickel One as a symbol of Mandalore's commitment to its mutual aid treaty with the Verpine. After a minute, he gave up trying to get a direct signal and turned back to Niskuin.
"Can you relay a message to Moburi?"
"I can reach Commando Moburi through my hive mates,"
Niskuin replied.
"There are still capsules coming behind us."
"Tell Moburi that he's in command until I get there,"
Fett said,
"and that it may be a while. The power grid is about to blow.
Fett's declaration sent a clatter of dismay through the capsule, but none of the Verpine questioned his certainty. First, when it came to killing and fighting, his reputation was unmatched. Second, insects of the soldier caste were too disciplined to question the pronouncement of a superior, even a superior from another swarm. And they probably knew that he was right anyway. Eliminating the power plant would bring Nickel One's transportation to a screeching halt, and limiting an enemy's mobility was always a good idea. Fett turned to Jaina.
What do your Jedi instincts tell you about this attack?
That someone wants the Verpine munitions industry for themselves, Jaina replied. But you don't need Jedi instincts to know that. Verpine manufacturing is nearly self-contained, which makes it a tempting target. The Verpine have been supplying all sides since day one of the war, which makes them everyone's enemy, and they're unaligned, which makes them ripe for the picking.
They're aligned with us.
There was some bristle in Fett's voice, but Jaina could feel in the Force that there was no real irritation. He knew, as well as she did, that Mandalore was suddenly playing out of its league.
But who is the someone behind this? The Moffs I didn't kill already? Or did your brother send them?
Jaina thought for a minute, then shrugged.
My gut tells me it's too early for Jason to have the Moffs under control. But he is full of surprises.
Fett's helmet remained fixed on Jaina.
Not for you, I hope,
he said.
Not anymore.
The only surprise will be if there are no surprises, she replied. But I have a few of my own now, too.
Good answer.
Then he looked away, and Jaina could feel him gathering his resolve. Here it came.
Listen, Solo, Fett began. This isn't your fight. When we get to the command bunker, I want you to grab a Bessie and slip out of here.
To where?
Jaina asked, pretending to be surprised.
To Mandalore to fetch Bevin?
Fett's helmet swung back toward Jaina.
Bevin knows. Or at least he will by the time you could get there.
Then, oh,
Jaina said, still acting. Never let them know that you know, especially when they might be your enemy one day. She paused for a moment, then asked,
am I ready?
Why are you asking me?
You've killed more Jedi than I have.
3 seconds passed before Fett answered.
Not like your brother. Not anyone that powerful.
His viewplate slid from Jaina back to Niskuin.
What's happening with the white shells?
They've penetrated our positions around the exhaust vents, and...
The Verpine's answer came to a halt when the capsule went dark, dropped to the tunnel floor, and began to buck, bounce, and knell as it clanged down the passage. Jaina felt herself starting to fly forward and used the Force to stick herself in place, then instantly regretted it as big, spiny insect bodies began to slam into her from behind. Fett's sleeve lamp came on 3 meters away, swirling and blinking as he tumbled forward with the other passengers. Jaina pulled her knees to her chest and tucked her chin, making herself small, and felt a sharp pang as something creased the durasteel wall behind her. A terrific screech sounded from the front of the cabin, followed by a rush of dank air and an enormous clang from the ceiling at the rear of the capsule. Then the noise stopped,
and the force began to churn with rolling waves of pain. Jaina snatched a glow rod off her belt and shined it toward the front of the passenger cabin, where she could just make out the glow of Fett's sleeve lamp buried beneath a couple of meters of crooked insect limbs and cracked thoraxes. The front of the capsule was gaping open, where the bottom of the nose had been torn away, and the iron smell of insect blood was thick in the air.
Fett?
Jaina started forward, and made it about halfway to the front of the cabin before she was stopped by an impenetrable tangle of thrashing insect parts.
You hurt?
The light at the bottom of the heap remained stationary.
Fett?
When there was still no answer, she began to clamber over the jumble of insects, ignoring their pained squeals and dodging their angry mandible snaps. She called to him using a diminutive, one that she had never heard anyone but Goron Bevin use.
Bobica?
The light suddenly swung in her direction.
You must have thought I was dead,
Fett said.
So I'll forgive that. Once.
Sorry.
Jaina laughed, then felt instantly guilty. The injured warriors around her were insects, but they felt real pain. As a former Killick joiner, she understood that better than most.
Just checking.
Come on.
Fett's light turned toward the nose of the capsule, then began to move toward the gash. In its ambient glow, she could see that the self-contained body glove beneath his armor had been ripped in half a dozen places. A large flap was hanging down beneath the bottom rim of his helmet.
We need to get going.
Right.
Jaina didn't bother to ask about helping the wounded. Compassion was a weakness, and she knew better than to show a weakness in front of Boba Fett, especially a Jaitise weakness.
Meet you outside.
She slipped off the body heap, then ignited her lightsaber and started to cut through the side of the capsule. By the time she had finished, Fett was standing a few meters down the tunnel, gathering up the Verpine who could still fight. 10 of the 50 warriors the capsule had once held were now standing near him. An equal number lay dead or still inside the capsule, and the remainder were slumped or curled along the tunnel walls, being looked after by a pair of soldiers who were still functional but limping too badly to march.
Niskuin?
She asked. Fett shot a glance at the warriors gathered around him.
Any of you Niskuin?
Niskuin's thorax split open,
replied one of the soldiers standing with Fett.
He is no more.
Fett grunted in acknowledgement, then tipped his helmet back to look up into the speaker's face.
What's your name, soldier?
Sess,
the Verpine replied.
Combat Director Sess.
Well, Combat Director Sess, you're with us now.
Fett pointed at the rest of the able-bodied soldiers.
So are they. Got it?
Sess clacked his mandibles.
Good.
Fett turned and started down the tunnel, not bothering to avoid the repulsor rail. Obviously, it was no longer a danger to anyone.
How far is the command bunker from here?
We're almost there,
S. replied, staring after him.
It's only 10 kilometers.
10 Ks. Great.
Fett broke into a gentle run, and Jaina noticed he was trying to hide a limp.
I was wondering how I'd get my exercise today.
Don't you want a situation report?
Sess asked, loping along behind him.
We know the situation, Jaina said.
The repulsor rail was too narrow to take more than one runner at a time, and the tunnel walls curved up a sharp slope, so she was forced to fall in behind Sess.
The imps blew your power plant, and enemy assault shuttles are landing everywhere. Unfortunately, your artificial gravity has its own energy supply, so we're going to have a long walk to wherever the battle starts.
Sess looked back, his antennae raised in astonishment.
Did you see that in the Force?
Yeah, Jedi see everything, Fett said. It's what makes them so irritating. Let me know when the white shells start blowing airlocks.
Fett fell silent and continued to lead the way up the tunnel, breathing into his helmet rather than removing it and allowing anyone to see how hard he was working. Jaina imagined him wishing that he hadn't left his jetpacks aboard his ship, and smiled. He might be her mentor, for now, but he had delivered her father to Jabba the Hutt, frozen in carbonite. So it was nice to see him suffer just a little. Besides, given that her brother was the one who had tortured his daughter to death, she suspected that Fett felt much the same about her. They had been running for nearly an hour when the tunnel branched up and down. Fett stopped and pretended to study his options while he caught his breath, then turned to shine his lamp in Sess's face.
Which way?
Either. If we go up, we will pass the Long Crater Dust Lake, 30-kilometer top airlock.
Sess looked down the descending tube, probably more to get Fett's lamp out of his eyes than to indicate direction.
This way, we will go through Client Hangar 2, where your Besulik...
Sess was interrupted by the clatter of stone collapsing in the upper passage. All the Verpine jumped and swung their long necks toward the sound. But Fett casually turned to look up the tunnel, no doubt scanning it with his helmet's built-in sensors. Jaina merely reached out with the Force, trying to get some idea of the number and nature of whoever had breached the passage. She sensed nothing but a vague danger, amorphous and elusive. Without looking away from the tunnel, Fett asked,
"Sess, didn't I tell you to let me know when the stormtroopers started blowing airlocks?"
"And I will," Sess replied. "When it happens..."
Now Fett's helmet swung back around.
"They haven't blown any airlocks," he demanded. "Not a single one."
"Not one," Sess confirmed. "You said to tell you when the white shells started. One is a start. I would have told you."
Jaina felt exasperation boiling off Fett like a steam cloud.
"Decoot," he said,
using one of the few Mandalorian words she had heard him use without Myrta's prompting.
"Before you and your buggies die, I need you to relay a message to Moburi."
"We're going to die?"
Sess sounded more surprised than frightened.
"How do you know?"
"Did I say something to make you think there's time to explain?" Fett demanded. "Focus, Sess. You don't have long."
Jaina understood. If the stormtroopers weren't blowing the airlocks, it was because they wanted to keep the asteroid's ventilation system sealed. And that could mean only one thing.
"Gas."
"Don't sound so surprised, Jedi. It makes you look bad."
Fett pulled an emergency breath mask from his equipment belt, then turned back to Sess.
"Tell Moburi to fall back to Client Hangar 2 with everyone who can make it."
"You're breaking our contract?"
Sess gasped.
"Boba Fett?"
"No."
Fett raised his helmet high enough to push the breath mask through the torn body glove and up under his visor.
"We're running out of time, Sess."
When Sess's antennae remained flat against his cheeks, Jaina explained,
"There will be air scrubbers and hazmat suits in the hangar. He's just trying to keep his men alive to counterattack."
"I could use a few of you guys, too," Fett said to Sess. "Too bad you don't have a photon's chance in a black hole of lasting that long. You going to relay that message before you die?"
"Yes."
Sess's antennae swung away from his cheeks.
"Thank you for your candor."
A faint sniffling began to whisper down the tunnel from which the clatter had come. Fett glanced toward the sound, then turned back and pointed at Jaina's equipment belt.
"Guess you weren't much of a student after all," he said. "No breath mask?"
"Sure, I've got one," Jaina said. "Just don't need it."
Fett cocked his helmet to one side.
"This I've got to see."
"Be my guest."
Jaina would have liked to avoid showing this particular trick to any Mandalorian, and especially to Boba Fett, but the only way to keep the technique secret was to let the Verpine die. She knew what a Mandalorian would have done, but she was still a Jedi, and she wanted to stay one. The siffling continued to grow louder. Jaina shined her glow rod up the tunnel and saw a glittering cloud of vapor pushing down the passage. She raised her palm and began to pull the force through herself, using it to push the dank air up the transport tube. The sound sharpened into a high-pitched buzz. Then the cloud stopped advancing and began to glitter even more brightly. Jaina's stomach rolled with surprise. She felt Fett's eyes watching her and unfurrowed her brow. Too late to fool him, she knew, but at least the lecture on revealing surprise would only be perfunctory. She pulled harder on the force, drawing it through herself faster and pushing more air up the tunnel. The buzzing deepened to a drone, and a pearly glow rose within the cloud's heart.
"Haven't seen that before."
The comment was muffled by Fett's breath mask, but not nearly enough to conceal the amusement in his voice.
"So what's it do exactly?"
Jaina bit back a sharp retort and pushed even harder, forcing so much air up the passage that her robes began to ruffle in the breeze. The drone rose rapidly in pitch, then suddenly ceased as the cloud flew apart in a blinding flash. There followed a moment of stunned silence as Jaina and the others tried to blink the dazzle out of their eyes. Then, as her vision began to return, so did the Sifl, fainter than before, but also somehow more urgent. She shined her glow rod up the passage and saw that the eruption had sprayed the glittering cloud onto the floor and walls, not the ceiling, in the form of a silver film. And that film was sliding down the tunnel, coming fast and shaping itself into a dozen gleaming arrows, each pointed at one of the beings in Fett's makeshift fighting squad. Fett pulled his breath mask from beneath his visor.
"Neat trick."
He took a T-21 borrowed from the Nickel One armory. He'd left his EE-3 aboard the ship, thinking he wouldn't need it on an inspection tour, off his back, and pulled the actuating knob.
"But I think you just made it mad."
Fett opened fire with the repeating blaster, and the Verpine followed his lead with their shatter rifles, all shooting at the arrows approaching them. The mag pellets were no more effective than the blaster bolts, simply blunting the tip until the arrow reshaped itself into a fork or a trident or half a dozen blobs and continued forward. Jaina had no idea what the stuff was, and it was coming too fast to waste time wondering. when she could not think of a force technique that would be more effective than what Fett and the Verpine were doing, she simply activated her lightsaber and squatted, laying the blade as flat as she could and using it like a broom to keep the stuff burned away from her. The film divided and moved around her, staying out of reach until it had her completely encircled, then swept in from all sides. She launched herself into a force flip, arcing over Fett's head into the tunnel that led down toward Client Hangar 2. She came down facing back up the passage. Fett's boots and greaves were already covered in dull, creeping silver, and Jaina could see that some of it had slipped through a rip in the ankle seam. Behind him, Sass and his soldiers had finally panicked and turned to spring down the tunnel. But the film was sliding after them, and it was obvious they wouldn't be able to stay ahead of it. Jaina pointed at Fett's feet.
Boba, you've...
You too.
Fett gestured at her lightsaber hand.
Your arm.
Jaina looked down and saw a silver stain spreading down her sleeve onto her wrist and hand. She deactivated her blade and flipped her arm down, but it was like trying to shake off a tattoo.
Fear Feck.
Jaina felt herself growing angry. She had not spent the last 5 standard weeks trading bruises with the most notorious killer in the galaxy to have it end here. She had to survive long enough to go after her brother.
Any idea what it is?
What difference does it make?
Fett asked.
It's probably going to kill us. I already feel it starting to burn.
Acid, then.
Jaina pulled a canister of neutralizer from her equipment belt and popped off the cap, then felt her own hand begin to tingle. Not burn. She looked over to see Fett holding a green stimshot hypo, but doing nothing except looking at his feet.
You said burn.
Maybe it should have been sting.
Fett continued to look at his feet.
What's the difference?
Jaina started to tell him the difference was whether to use a neutralizer or a countertoxin, and that a stim shot was the wrong thing to use no matter what, but realized that Fett's retort had been based on something else entirely. The silver film on his greaves and boots was dissolving and falling away. Then the tingling on Jaina's hand and wrist faded. The silver stain decayed into a dingy powder, leaving her flesh slightly reddened, but otherwise undamaged. She used the force to concentrate her awareness on the area, searching for any hidden damage, and felt nothing worse than a mild sunburn. The Verpine were not faring so well. They had only made it a few meters down the tunnel before being overtaken by the film. And now the passage was filled with staccato clattering and the fading squeals of dying insects. Jaina looked to Fett.
How are you feeling?
He shined his sleeve lamp down the passage. Sess and the rest of the Verpine lay on the floor beneath the powdery coatings of gray. Most were writhing in the final throes of a death seizure, but some already lay motionless, with dark blood seeping from their eyes and thorax spiracles.
Lucky, Fett said. That happens sometimes.
He turned away from Sess and the others, then brushed past and started down the passage at a run again. Ignoring the implied order to follow, Jaina pulled her med pack from her belt and went to squat beside Sess, where she began to burn detailed force impressions of his symptoms into her memory. It took another 10 steps before Fett finally decided to stop and turn around.
"You're not trying to save him?" Fett asked. "Tell me we've done better than that with—"
"Just trying to find out if your message got through to Moburi."
As Jaina said this, she experienced a faint sense of guilt and failure beneath Sess's pain.
It didn't.
Fett shrugged.
He'll be there.
If you say so.
Jaina didn't bother to hide her doubt. It was going to be difficult enough for her and Fett to reach the hangar ahead of the Imperials, and they didn't have orders telling them to put up a stiff resistance.
But if it's all the same, I'm not counting on it.
She used a swab to collect some dust and blood from Sess's body, then, using a force suggestion to put him to sleep, gave him a single pat on the shoulder and stood.
I can tell you what that stuff is,
Fett said, waiting as she sealed the swab inside a sample tube.
Nano.
It won't hurt to run some tests, Jaina said, joining him. Better to be sure.
I am sure.
Fett started to run again.
It's the Imperial style. They probably got the idea from the stuff your dad found on Woteba back when you were kissing bugs.
They weren't bugs,
Jaina said, restraining the urge to force-slap him upside the head.
Killix are...
So you were kissing him?
Fett asked.
I always thought that part was just...
Jaina force-shoved him into the wall. Hard. Then pushed him down the tunnel at a run.
You shouldn't waste your breath, old man,
she said.
You've got a contract to keep.
Fett laughed and picked up the pace.
Anger is weakness, Jedi,
he said.
And try to keep up. We've still got 5 kilometers to go.
In the course of the next 30 minutes, they passed at least 200 dead Verpine. Some lay near crashed capsules, badly mangled, but curled into peaceful little balls by the companions who had left them there. Most of the others were sprawled where they had fallen, twisted into painful-looking shapes, and coated in the same gray powder that had been left on Sess and the others after the silver film overtook them. But a few scattered corpses, all from either the technician or labor caste, appeared to have died of more typical wounds, mostly blaster burns and grenade detonations. None of them had any sign of the gray powder that had coated the dead soldiers. Jaina didn't bother pointing out the ramifications to Fett. She was certain that he could see them as clearly as she did, and would find them just as unnerving. If the Remnant had engineered a weapon to kill only the Verpine soldier caste, they clearly intended to get the munitions plants running again soon. Within a matter of days, the entire military industry of the Roach system would be supplying the Remnant, and therefore Jason, with some of the finest weaponry in the galaxy. Jaina was still trying to digest this unpleasant realization when the fear and anger of a battle began to ripple through the Force from somewhere not too far ahead. All the presences felt human to her, and one or two of them were even vaguely familiar. They had found Fett's Mandalorians in the middle of a battle. With the Force, she pulled Fett to a stop, then used hand signals to communicate what she sensed. Fett nodded and took a couple of seconds to arm his entire weapons array. Then they shut off their lights and began to creep up opposite sides of the tunnel. Fett, using his helmet's infrared sensors to navigate in the darkness, Jaina relying on the Force. They hadn't gone far when the battle began to assault their nostrils. This was not the typical smell of blaster-scorched flesh and spilled entrails, but the kind of odor that came out when a repair crew tore the patches off a combat vessel that had survived a nasty turbolaser barrage. The acrid reek of flash-melted metal and incinerated bodies. After moving just 20 meters in 2 careful minutes, Jaina sensed the tunnel opening up ahead, no doubt at the Client Hangar 2 loading platform. She could feel a dozen angry Mandalorians about 30 meters ahead, crouching in the transport tube at the opposite end of the platform. Scattered around one side, arrayed in a large crescent across a vast space that had to be the entry to the hangar, if not the hangar itself, she sensed about 2 dozen disciplined presences. Stormtroopers, she assumed. Fett began to murmur into his helmet mic, then ducked as a colored flash came crackling out of the darkness and blasted a head-sized crater from the tunnel wall. Instantly, he began to return fire, pouring blaster bolts toward his unseen attacker, and the loading platform grew bright with crisscrossing lines of color. In the strobing light, Jaina glimpsed 6 Mandalorian bodies ahead, lying below the loading platform at the bottom of the transportation tube. Their Beskar Gam appeared to be more or less intact, but so badly discolored and deformed that it looked like they'd taken laser cannon blasts square to their chest plates. Fett yelled something she couldn't make out over the wail of so many blaster rifles, then crouched and charged into the transportation tube, sticking his weapon arm up over the loading platform to return fire. A blaster bolt caught his T-21 in the cooling module, blowing the weapon apart and sending it flying in 3 different directions. A second bolt ricocheted off the inside of Fett's vambrace, flinging his arm straight up above the edge of the platform, where a 3rd bolt burned through his palm and blew out the back of his gauntlet, spinning him around and dropping him flat to the dead repulsor rail. These were not her mother's stormtroopers, Jaina realized. These guys could shoot. She ignited her lightsaber and charged after Fett, simultaneously batting blaster bolts back toward her attackers and using the Force to push Fett along the rail so he wouldn't become a stationary target. Then the hair rose on the back of her neck, and she had the sense that someone very dangerous was focusing on her. She thought for a second it might be her brother, but realized she would have been dead by the time she sensed him watching. She dived for the repulsor rail, catching Fett square in the back as he came up holding a Blastech S-330 he had taken from one of his dead mercenaries. They slammed down flat, Fett cursing inside his helmet and trying to throw her off, Jaina using the Force to keep them pinned until whatever she had sensed crashed against the back wall, lighting up the transportation tube like a nova burst to life. The blast seared the left side of her face and filled her nose with the sulfurous smell of melted stone, scorched cloth, and singed hair. Jaina glanced over and saw a 1/2-meter ball of crackling, boiling white still burrowing into the tunnel wall, stone pouring from the hole in a bright liquid stream. Fett finally squirmed out from beneath her and spun around on his knee, still cursing and oblivious to the thumb-sized hole that had been burned through his hand. If he noticed that he was now kneeling on the warped chest plate of a helmetless mercenary, or that the man's face was as red and puffy as that of someone who had been steamed alive, he showed no sign.
"Not what I had in mind, Jedi!"
He nearly had to shout to make himself heard above the scream and crackle of the battle.
"When I said cover me, I meant with a blaster."
"My mistake,"
Jaina replied wryly. She was about to add that it wouldn't happen again when 12 Mandalorians came running up from the other end of the loading platform. The leader, a tall, broad-shouldered fellow, armored in red and black, was crouching low and keeping a careful watch on a chrono he carried in his hand. Everyone else was returning Imperial fire, only half-crouching behind the platform's cover and relying on their Beskar Gam to deflect enemy fire while they picked off stormtroopers. The leader dropped to a knee beside Fett.
"Good to see you, boss."
He displayed the chrono, which was counting down by seconds.
"We've got 9 seconds till they hit us again."
"Good to see you too, Muburi."
Fett's helmet swung in Jaina's direction. shooting her a glance she was fairly sure would have been smug had she been able to see beneath his viewplate, then looked back to Moburi.
"Plasma cannon?"
"Just a gun," Moburi corrected. "That's why..."
"Where?"
Jaina poked her head up, but she was so blinded by the flurry of blaster bolts that she could not pinpoint anyone's location, much less the plasma guns.
"Just one?"
"One's enough," Moburi said. Jaina glanced at the chrono in his hand and saw that it was down to 6 seconds. She didn't have time to explain. Not if she was going to take out that gun before it fired again.
"Where?"
Moburi glanced at Fett, who looked at Jaina and shook his head.
"No way. I'm not going to..."
"You're not."
Jaina knew what Fett was going to say, that he wasn't going to risk the tool of his vengeance against her brother, and she understood why. Assassins didn't make it to Fett's age by taking chances they could avoid. But Jaina also knew that she was going to have to take a lot of chances to bring Jason down, that from the moment she began her hunt, she would be assuming far greater risks than facing down a few dozen crack-shot stormtroopers.
"Cover!"
Jaina reignited her lightsaber, then force sprang out of the tube and into an evasive somersault. Behind her, Fett yelled,
"Fear Feck!"
Then,
"Go, go, go!"
By the time she came down again, she was halfway across the loading platform, a dozen Mandalorians charging out of the darkness behind her. She landed in a near trance, her pulse racing with battle exhilaration, her lightsaber whirling by instinct, her mind focused on discovering the location of the plasma gunner. It was impossible to see anything in the darkness behind the strobing crescent of color that marked the stormtrooper's skirmish line. But Jaina knew that was where her target would be, defended by the rest of his squad, tucked behind hard cover with nothing visible but his muzzle and sniper sight. And he would be up high. The plasma ball had been at face level while she was in the bottom of the transportation tube, which meant the sniper had been shooting down at them. Behind her, Amando grunted in anguish as a lucky blaster bolt found a seam in his armor. A concussion grenade detonated off to her right and sent chunks of white armor spraying everywhere. Jaina felt her lightsaber catch a trio of powerful bolts, then saw the fiery dashes return to send a stormtrooper and his G-8 power blaster flying in opposite directions. She spun through the resulting gap in the enemy line, dancing left, then right, to slice through a white-armored shoulder and send a boxy helmet and its contents tumbling away. And that was when she sensed the plasma gunner's focus returning. It wasn't as strong this time, probably because it was centered on someone else, and she wouldn't have noticed it at all if she hadn't been searching for it. But she could feel the sniper preparing to fire again, somewhere ahead, above, and right. Jaina smiled, more in satisfaction than bloodlust, and rushed into the darkness. Extending her force awareness high along the wall and ceiling of the loading vault, she sensed a human presence, two presences, sniper and spotter, hiding on an observation balcony high above the battle. She did not reach for a blaster or a glow rod or try to leap up to their hiding place. She just grabbed and pulled, using the force to jerk them both forward. The sniper and his partner almost certainly yelled or cried out as they flew from their firing post, but the sound was inaudible beneath the booming crackle of a plasma discharge. An orb of silver brilliance came arcing down from the balcony, followed by two dark-armored figures and their gun. Then the energy ball crashed into an overturned service cart, creating a cannon-sized detonation that illuminated the entire vault for a full 2 seconds. Jaina glimpsed stormtroopers staggering, running and somersaulting away from the explosion. Then the Mandalorians were on the skirmish line, felling enemies with blaster, boot, and blade. She sensed danger on her left, and turned to see, in the flickering gleam of her lightsaber, a trooper stumbling away backward, shaking, but still pointing an E-18 in her direction. She gestured him forward with her free hand, using the Force to pull him onto her lightsaber before he could open fire. The blade burned a 3-centimeter hole in his chest plate and sank through. A pained gurgle escaped his helmet comm, and the blaster rifle slipped from his grasp to land on Jaina's boots. She deactivated her lightsaber, then heard footsteps behind her and spun around, reactivating and striking in the same instant. The attack landed, but did not slice, the blade sliding along a Beskar neck guard to burn a dark furrow into Fett's green armor. Jaina gasped in surprise, but managed to stifle the apology. Regret is a weakness that rose automatically to her lips.
"Take that as a lesson," she said instead. "Never sneak up on a Jedi."
"Didn't know you could sneak up on a Jedi," Fett retorted. "Thanks for the tip."
Jaina deactivated her lightsaber, more aware than Fett realized that they weren't really joking. There were a lot of things he didn't seem to know about Jedi. One of them being that Jedi weren't just good eavesdroppers, they were the best. So when Admiral Dalla, no fan of Jedi herself, had boarded the Bloodfin at Fondor and asked to meet with Fett, Jaina had made it her business to be on the deck below, where she could use the Force to listen in on what passed between the two Jedi haters. It had been no surprise to hear them dreaming of the day when the galaxy was rid of Sith and Jedi alike. And that included Jaina. She had no illusions about that. But Jaina was content to let Fett think she didn't know just how serious he was, that she actually bought the fatherly affection act he sometimes put on for her. She expanded her Force awareness to include the entire loading area, noting the diminished blaster fire and retreating battle sounds, and decided it would be safe to activate her glow rod.
"Looks like everything's under control," she said, starting toward the fallen sniper team and their plasma gun. "Sometimes the Jedi way is better."
"Faster, anyway."
Fett knelt to check the sniper team, and discovering that the spotter was still breathing, put a blaster bolt through the fellow's head.
"Not necessarily better."
Jaina recoiled from the cold-blooded killing of the wounded trooper, but recalled the Mandalorian whom she had heard grunting earlier, and knew that Fett would be thinking of his own losses, not those of his enemy. She wanted to ask how many men he had lost during the charge, but knew better than to betray her interest. Fett stood and started forward, motioning for Jaina to follow. When they came to a huge archway, opening into the depths of Client Hangar 2, he pointed into the darkness.
"There should still be a couple of full-spec Bessies in there, fueled and ready to go," he said. "Consider one of 'em yours. I'll put it on your account."
Jaina stopped at his side.
"So this is it, then?"
"I guess so,"
Fett said.
"I've seen you fly. You shouldn't have any trouble slipping out of here."
Jaina paused.
"What about you? You know you can't stop the invasion."
She felt Fett smile inside his helmet.
"You worried about me, Jedi?"
"Not really," Jaina said. "But I do want to keep track of you."
Fett snorted.
"We both know you're going to be too busy for that," he said. "I'll be fine. There's a Trakkot in there, too. We just have to prepare some things for our return.
Jaina cocked her brow.
You're coming back?
Of course, Fett said. I gave my word.
In that case, may the Force be with you,
Jaina said.
You're going to need it.
Not as much as you.
Fett cocked his head, listening to a report, then said,
Time for me to get moving. Good luck, kid.
For a moment, Jaina was silent. That was exactly the kind of thing her father, Han Solo, would have said. Finally, she asked,
How much do you think I'll need? Luck, I mean.
Fett shrugged and pretended to look over his shoulder. Then his wounded hand shot forward, just as Jaina had known it would. She blocked down, then slipped inside his guard, shouldering him backward and sweeping his front foot from beneath him. Fett landed in a crash of armor and curses, but chuckled from inside his helmet.
Well, I've taught you everything you need to know.
But not everything you know,
Jaina surmised. Fett looked up at her for a moment, then said,
You don't have that long.
He extended a hand for Jaina to help him up.
And there's no need.
Jaina ignored the hand and stepped back, then asked,
No need for you?
Right.
Fett sighed and lowered his hand.
Either way, I get my revenge.
Either way?
Jaina narrowed her eyes, then realized what he was saying. She wasn't surprised, but she was hurt. Maybe only a little, but she was hurt.
If I don't kill my brother...
Your brother kills you.
Fett hopped to his feet as lightly as any unarmored Jedi apprentice, then added,
Some things are worse than death. I know that better than anyone, except for maybe Sintas and Han Solo. Send your father my sympathies.
Jaina studied Fett for a moment, trying to remind herself that she had gone to him, that he had given her exactly what she asked for, and she still found herself getting angry. Finally, she said,
Dad's right about you. The Kaminoans did use rancor drool to fill your veins.
Fett laughed.
Smart Barv, your dad.
He spun on his heel and started down the access corridor at a jog.
No wonder he's so hard to kill.